This is Kelly Henderson, and you're listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This week on the podcast, my guest is the Nashville beauty girl, Carrie Claudel. She is so knowledgeable about all things beauty, and you guys message me all the time telling me how much you love her. So she's back answering specific questions I received on my Instagram at Velvet's Edge. We talked about everything ranging from why people need filler to the danger of Botox. Carrie also specifically ranted about her hate for Botox parties and all the things that can go wrong with those. She gave us her favorite inexpensive products to start changing your skin at an early age, as well as how to pick which beauty procedures and treatments you really need or don't need. Here's our conversation. I am here with the Nashville beauty girl.
Yay.
Carrie Claudel. People love you, Carrie. Do you know that?
I have so much fun with all of your followers, and I'm sad we haven't done more episodes, but that's how summer is.
I mean, that's just life. But
I love all of your followers. Seriously, when I see them in the office, we have such a good time.
Followers sounds like such a cult.
It does.
But what I guess that's what people say on these days. I don't know. I mean, they're my Instagram friends.
Yeah. Yes.
My listeners. So Carrie's been on that Velvet's Edge podcast a couple times, if you can't tell, but she always answers all of our questions beauty related. We've talked about Botox. We've talked about lasers. We've kind of covered it all. But today we decided that we were going to give you guys the chance to ask the questions that you wanted to know. So I put it out there on my Instagram at Velvet's Edge, and we picked the top 7 questions that we wanted to go over that Carrie was like, no. We need to talk about
this. Let's talk about this.
Okay, so question number one that we got a lot of questions about this. Can Carrie talk about fillers? I'm noticing some sagging in my cheeks from weight loss, and I want to know her thoughts on that.
Absolutely.
Filler.
Fillers are everything.
Everything in a good way?
In a good way, yes. So when you lose weight, one of the first places that you might see it is underneath the eyes and in the mid-face area. Especially if you're over the age of 30 and you have more extreme weight loss. But that's where dermal fillers are so amazing, in that there are so many of them out there that you can customize them to the patient and what they need and their skin, and if they have more of a bony structure or they have more, areas that need just more lift because they are losing weight.
Wait, I need you to stop for a second. So dermal filler, is that like, that's what we know of as fillers?
Yeah, injectable filler.
Say that again.
injectables, fillers, dermal fillers. Yes. I intertwine those words all day long, but yes.
So that's what the common folk know as just fillers.
Yes.
Is a dermal filler. Is there like a difference?
No. So, sometimes you can throw out just, I got Juvederm, but really they got Restylane or Radius or something else. Okay. So it's
just different brands.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm trying to make sense of this all. Okay.
No, it's very true. And so the only thing with adding volume to areas that patients see with weight loss, which are normally in the middle of the face, is when they're injected with a cannula, which is the way that you deliver the filler in the anatomy that really gives a nice, beautiful, natural lift that lasts a longer time. So there was a period when I had maybe 5 or more than 5 gastric bypass patients. And I was like, I love that I can help them because they lose massive amount of weight. And so if I'm able to give them a product like Juvederm Voluma or Restylane Lift and add it to the areas, especially on a female, that can make them look tired. And they're like, dang it, I'm losing weight. I'm feeling better. But my face is showing.
Right.
So it's going to show, of course, where? Your face and your boobs. I mean, that's where it starts. Sucks. And so that's where I can help give them the type of product that will hold and look natural. And as they're losing weight, they're not looking like they're hollow and tired just because they have some fat loss there.
So my big concern with fillers is always like, you see the, this is such a generalization, but the Beverly Hills lady that looks way too overdone, and a filler is what I associate with that. Like,
sure.
That's what changes your face. That's when it starts to look really wacky.
Yes.
Like, I love Botox, but fillers scare me.
Yeah. So if you think about Botox, though, when you see people walking around, they have that Spock eyebrow, or they're like, look you should be afraid of Botox too, though.
So it's basically any kind of overdose of these injectables.
Or it's placed incorrectly, or the wrong product is used in the wrong place for that patient. So what I find, you're right, I would say 40% of my day is talking patients off the ledge and making them realize the reason why they need that filler in that right place. So if you come to me and you're like, I want my lips done, and I'm watching you as you're talking to me, no one's safe. I can figure you out usually within about 5 seconds of where your volume loss is and watching your anatomy as you're talking. And your nasolabial folds, like the folds across, right beside your mouth.
Those are smile lines. You're showing them right now, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Your smile lines.
The nasal labia folds. Okay.
I'll do layman's terms. And they are so deep, and they're making your lips collapse, and you're seeing that you want your lips done. Me as the injector, it's my job to give you the consult to say, look, you're seeing this because of this reason. It's a whole area. So if I inject your lips, you're going to see a lip injection because you're so off balance beside your lip. So I do feel like over the years, what I've learned is that there's a lot of injectors out there that do what the patients want them to do. Like, they know what they want, and they're really coming to us to be like, this is what I see, but help, you know? Yeah. And so that's where I think that the consult's so important. And then a lot of times, you know, we start with Botox, because even in weight loss patients, and they've never had injectables before, even if you just brighten, you know, their eye area up, or just lift some muscles and maybe, you know, lift the lower lip so that they don't feel like they're frowning. That's another injection site, lower face, for Botox that I love. But that way it gets them to trust me, trust the process, trust that, you know, we're lifting muscles and that we're in the right areas and that you're getting compliments and that you're feeling better about yourself. And it's all about confidence here. And then we go into the filler world. Mm-hmm. So not everyone has to start in the filler world, but some people, that's their main concern. So
you're a big supporter of filler. You said, especially with the sagging, I definitely have noticed, like, the older I get, the under eye thing. I mean, you could apply as much concealer as you want, and it's not going to cover that saggy under eye area.
Yeah. I mean, there are girls or men out there that are younger than 25 that just hereditarily have hollowness under their eyes because their mom or dad does. And so where your skin's a little bit thinner there, as you do lose volume, over the age of 28, we start losing volume. So if I have someone that's just starting to see, like, I'm kind of look a little tired, or they're having, you know, brown spots appear, and they look like they're around like 30, 28, usually it's about right. It's not too early just to start kind of lifting that area, because underneath that thin skin under the eye is just vascularity. So it's going to just look more, you know, purple or discolored. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like I said, anything around the eyes is normally I see being hereditary. Like, your mom or dad had, you know, heavy eyelids, or their crow's feet started early and their mom and dad has that. So you kind of start seeing those things like, oh yeah, they do. So that kind of helps patients be educated of why they're unbalanced in that area.
Right. Is mm-hmm. there one filler you like more than others, or is it just based on the patient and what they need?
Well, let's see. Depends how it's delivered. So in the lips, my favorite is using Juvederm Velour. It's juicy.
I love your descriptions. Juicy.
It's so
well,
pretty.
I mean, I want a juicy lip. That would be a great selling point to me.
I know.
Who doesn't want a juicy lip?
I know.
Okay.
And there's no swelling with Velour, and it lasts a little longer. And so I'm loving that product in lips. And I also love Restylane L in lips. And if they have someone, if I have someone that needs to have a defined border, then I'm going to use a product that has just like a more cohesive, like, molecular structure. So, but if I'm also going to be injecting, you know, just with the normal needle that's with the product in certain areas, then I might choose a softer product like Juvederm's. But when I'm doing the cannula technique, I like a product that's going to stay where I put it, that's not as soft, that just really gives support, and it works well in the cannula. And so I'm using Restylane. So yeah, you're right. It just depends on, I think every injector doctor, nurse, plastic surgeon, whatever, has like their kind of like little bits of, everybody has their favorites of what they, you know, kind of go towards. But I enjoy cocktailing them. So, you know, we're not doing the same product in the same area. If we are building a lip, I might be using a thinner product and then a little bit more robust as we get, you know, to that point, if your face shape can handle it.
Yeah.
But I like to cocktail it. I like to like figure it out and put it in the areas that give that little bit that we need. Cause sometimes I really do have to go really conservative with patients that have like really thin skin.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is why we talk about a lot. Every time you're on, I feel like we say it's so important to trust your injector because like you said, everyone has their own style. The cannula, is that the thing you keep describing to me? That's a new technique.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way you deliver, the filler to the injection site. So,
you know, people are going to be going to their doctor like, do you have a cannula?
Where's your cannula?
Be like, what's a cannula? Like,
yeah. Kelly gets the cannula. Yeah.
Carrie says, I have to have a cannula.
In certain locations, it's just a safer, less downtime, no bruising, and better natural result than injecting it with a normal needle. Mm. So yeah, I don't want to confuse people, but that's just part of the consult. And
that's like my the way favorite. You like
so
it.
If you follow on my Instagram, I do a lot of videos with the cannula, and sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, stop doing that. Cause it can look like that's like a really long needle, but it's actually not a needle. It's really flexible. It's actually really safe. It's a safer alternative in those locations, like around the eyes. It is an advanced level area. And actually I'm pissed that I didn't start using the cannula sooner than I did.
Really?
To deliver these results. Absolutely.
So yeah. Her Instagram is at the Nashville Beauty Girl. If you guys want to watch some of those videos, because they are really entertaining. Okay. Let's move to question number two. How dangerous is Botox really? I want it very badly, but my fiance is really concerned about the botulism toxin.
Yes.
I have a couple things wrong with this question for me personally. I mean, this is your decision though, right?
Okay.
I know. Well, are we talking about relationships now?
Should we go to a whole, oh, that would be fun.
All right, we'll keep it on Botox. So what about this toxin she mentioned?
You know, any description by the manufacturer of Allergan or Galderma or on the website or any of the brochures, they'll describe it as safe and used by millions. It's effective. It has an excellent track record. It's a dilute amount of the toxin in very small doses and does not have any systemic side effects. This stuff's been used medically and cosmetically for years. Beyond years. Botox is not indicated for anyone who has a neuromuscular disease. Like Lou Gehrig's disease is like really not common, but that's like the most relevant one that comes to my mind at this moment. So those conditions can be really exaggerated by the toxin. The way I kind of explain it is like when you get a vaccine, so you're getting, you know, measles, mumps, whatever, you're getting a small dose of that germ, that virus, that disease when you're getting that vaccine. Same goes for Botox too.
Really?
So
I try to convince myself, this is so messed up, but I tell myself there's no toxins in it. Cause you know, I work so hard to clean my diet, to even my toothpaste. I use like a natural toothpaste.
But you color your hair and you
totally. Like, and I paint my nails. I try to use Retin A. That's another podcast. If you guys want to go check out our podcast about that.
Like 50 podcasts on Retin A,
I know.
And we still could have more.
I know.
Like, everyone loves to talk about Retin A.
Cause it's like the product that you love to hate.
I know.
Okay. Or I do.
I'll make up a new question right now. But yeah, it's a question I get all the time.
So the toxin, it is there, but unless you have some sort of
neuromuscular
disease
then you should that is affected, then it could, you know, cause issues, which that's on all the consent forms. It's in, you know, all the descriptions. It's the safest drug on the market. So there's no reason. I would not inject my mother, myself, my husband, you know, all my people for 15 years if there was something, you know, toxic or bad about the product. I would say, honestly, with anything, even just getting back away from like what's in it, is that anything in excessive amounts is not good. I mean, you can take too much Tylenol and affect your liver. You can drink too much water and like mess up your electrolytes. I mean, there's just so many things that, you know, too much of anything is just not good of anything, but it's a very safe drug. Yeah. So girls should get it.
I love my Botox. I'm not going to lie.
Gosh.
Okay. Question number three. Can you ask Carrie about getting a sharper jawline under your chin area? This is a good question. I think a lot of people deal with this.
Favorite area. Lower face is my, I light up like a Christmas tree when I get to do like lower face. It's just so attractive. Like jawline, seeing a bone or like small chin. And you think of like, I mean, Kylie Jenner is like really, you know, accentuated her area. You think of like men that have that jawline.
Whoa. Kylie Jenner, you think she like did something to her chin?
Her jawline. Of course it's enhanced. Heck yeah.
Oh my God. Girl. I just think she's like 22 and that's why she looks like
it's
that.
It's so enhanced.
Really?
Yeah. She had a lot of lower face.
I mean, obviously her lips, but okay.
Yeah, it's all connected. And I actually think her jawline looks great. It's very attractive. And you know, the jawline for a man, like when that trifecta between like the cheekbone and the chin like mm-hmm. match, it looks like they gained like 10 pounds of muscle. And on a female, you know, when you see a little bit of that bone structure here and that contour and that definition, you'll get compliment. People think you freaking lost weight. I mean, it is such a compliment getter area when the lower face and profile is on. It's just, it's a beautiful area. I like to use a combination of things. And so Kybella is something that we haven't really talked about a whole lot, but Kybella is an injectable liposuction. Basically, I use it in small areas. It's for like underneath the chin, the fat underneath the chin. And I like to contour with it. So there's a little gel fat pad that some patients get, or we all have it, but some show up more just because of their face shape. So if I can apply a little bit or inject a little bit of Kybella in like the fat pads and soften that, so it's not having like that little puff on the side of the face and even up the jawline and under the chin and show more of that jawline, it's magic.
I've actually had a friend get the Kybella done. He had a little bit of the under neck, like saggy. Man, I mean, that happens to a lot of us as we age.
I saw it before I got married. I saw it in my engagement pictures. I was like, hell no, where's my Kybella?
So Kybella is in it. It's another injectable and you shoot it into that area and it just sucks it up. Like what happens? I don't understand how that works.
Yeah. So Kybella is, it's also used off label in the body. So like bra fat, like the banana roll. Oh yes. So it's like small areas that maybe you could not get a cool sculpting handpiece on. Honestly, I feel like I go straight for the Kybella because it's consistent. It works. There is some swelling. There's a little bit of downtime. It's deoxycholic acid. So we already have that. In our body, so when we have a fatty meal, that's what is delivered to, disintegrate it. And so that's what I'm injecting. So I'm basically starving the fat cell. And that's what the swelling comes from. And so the fat cell is, you know, goes through lymphatic. And then usually around 4 to 6 weeks, you really start seeing a difference. That's the fun. We'll just talk more about that. But I'll use that if there's like fat around the jawline.
Yeah.
And then I'll go in with filler and the cannula again and contour the jawline. And that does a great lift and enhancement. And more definition in some people. And then we can go into the chin for those more recessed chins to really bring that out. So it's so that profile wise, it matches like the protrusion of the nose. That all matters. And then we can do neck Botox and then a little pop in the lip. I mean, I can go on and on.
Oh my gosh. You love this. What is it called?
I love lower face on a female.
Yeah.
On anyone really, but on a female, I think it can make or break just how you're approached, whether you have like that resting bitch face or you don't realize it because your muscles are, you know, mm-hmm. they're just lax. And I think it's an area that's almost forgotten when you think so much of Botox upper face. Let's do cheek.
Right.
Let's do tear trough. Let's do a little pop and lip. Well, what about that? Because this all is connected, but I feel like this makes so much more of a difference. And especially I'm big on matching. Like I want your bottom half of your face matching the top of your face. So it's not like, you know, 20, 40, 60, you know.
So Kybella, it's the way to go for that question.
Combination, cocktailing.
Okay, so question four, what is something great to help with aging that's not insanely priced? I'm in my 20s and I want to start being preventative, so I'm looking for a serum or cream. This is a great question too.
Yeah, I love prevention in the 20s. But it definitely has to include a vitamin C serum.
Okay.
Vitamin C is going to help just keep that trampoline in the skin. Brightens the skin. It helps the free radicals. It's protection. And then that along with an SPF. And the biggest thing in the 20s is, girls, wash your face. Like, get your makeup off. I mean, we all have those nights. But when they, you know, accumulate later in your 20s, you start to see, you know, that dull, ruddy, large pored breakout, you know, just
so that's from not taking care of your skin.
Yeah. Like not washing your makeup off. And
really?
If you're going to use a makeup remover, fine, but wash your face afterwards.
Yeah.
So I would say, and then, you know, some type of like, you know, exfoliation, like a glycolic toner, a complexion pad, something with a little bit of just, you know, just a gentle, glycolic acid is like just so common because a lot of people, most every skin type can use it without having any irritation, but it just brightens the skin and it gets the dead skin cells off. But I would say that like Carly Pierce and Kelsey Ballerini are two of my really good clients, and I just did a post with them because when I first met them, we dealt with just some, you know, congestion in skin and things like that, and they are really good advocates of products they use on at home and while they're in their busy lifestyle in their 20s that really just help, you know, maintain and prevent things for the future, because I wish we had all that back when I was in my 20s. You know, we did, but it's not like it is now.
I think I had started earlier thinking about this stuff, because now I'm definitely going back to fix some of the damage I did in my 20s. So that's really great that you're already thinking about that. It's also a great point about everything is kind of expensive in this world and it can add up. So finding a really great product to start with is...
Yeah, I would say for the 20s, wash your face, a gentle cleanser, wash your face, get in the habit of that. And then I would think of like a glycolic toner, and vitamin C, which can come in a serum. It can come in a lotion. I like vitamin C's and serums. They penetrate. I feel like they penetrate better and deeper.
Do you have a specific one you like?
I like a stabilized vitamin C that's, I feel like a vitamin C is one of those big girl products. If you're in your 20s, you got a job, like you should invest. If you're investing in your skin, I would purchase a $75, you know, vitamin C from a good medical cosmeceutical line, like, you know, Zio or Revision or Skin Medica. Like those are, I mean, like they're in medical offices for a reason, because it's so concentrated. You're going to use like one tiny bit, where if you're going over the counter at Target to get something that's not as potent, but you're using a lot of it. And so there's, you know, I think, you know, you can do some things, you know, just fine, like, you know, foaming Cetaphil face wash, or there's that, I never can say her last name right, Maria Basescu. It's at Target.
Yeah.
It's in those cute pink, like, little colors.
Starts with a B.
They have a 10% glycolic toner. I see it all the time. Like, that's great. I've even bought that for my daughter. And then purchase, you know, look at getting like a really good vitamin C, because most of the girls that are doing prevention are probably at a medical spa or a dermatologist office, like trying a treatment. Maybe they're doing like a hydrofacial or something. So they know where it's at. And then, you know, doing a really good SPF, a sunscreen, or sunscreen in your makeup, because, you know, all that mineral makeup has sunscreen anyway. So that's a great, that's like a good, like, prevention, good way to start.
Okay. Question five, what do you think of Botox parties? I know you have a strong feeling about this.
Question, so I can go on and on.
Is it really a better deal if you buy in bulk with all of your friends?
Okay. So this is what I think about Botox parties. Hell no. No. No.
Hell no.
Hell no. Hell no.
And tell us many reasons why that way.
The other word is buy in bulk with the question. It kind of scares the shit out of me. but if someone invites you to a Botox bulk party, you know, you need to run. But it does seem like, oh, you know, you get a deal if you have a Botox party. 10 of your friends are coming. It's not as expensive, or, you know, we'll give you a discount, or the doctor or the nurse or whoever's coming, who knows what, is going to come into the house, so you can just come over and we'll have drinks and we'll make it a Botox party. So it's just, it's, it also, like, on social media, when you're seeing injections being done, it is fascinating to watch. I'll catch myself watching that along with, like, makeup tutorials. Like, you're just, like, watching it. But it's so much more of what's going on, you know, on the other side of, mm-hmm. of that screen. And so, I would say that, you know, when we have needles into the skin, so there's going to be bleeding, that's going to be involved. And there's also a lot of nerve endings, and there are areas that can be reactive if they're injected. You know, even from an experienced injector, there could be a reaction. And you're in a setting and you've got, you know, 10 people around you, you're getting Botox for the first time, and you're not even getting a proper consult because it's just kind of like everyone's there, they're drinking, which is making your blood thinner. So bruising's definitely going to happen. It's just not in a professional, like, safe, clean setting. You're on someone's couch and you're putting needles in their face. And if you have a reaction to something and you don't have the proper medication, the proper protocol to target that, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, a lot can happen. I mean, like, really bad things can happen. And this even goes for people that are doing fillers at these Botox parties. Because
what, they do that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I, like, would, you know, get your lips done for $200. Oh, I hear it all the time. Yeah. Mm-mm. And so fillers are in a whole nother ball game too, where, you know, there's arteries that these needles can go into. And, if you are, you know, injected and the filler gets into an artery, you can cause, you know, an arterial occlusion, which means that it's almost like a stopper is put. If you can imagine, like, you have an artery and you have, like a stopper in there, and that blood flow can't go past it. So the area starts to turn white and black on another area of the face because the blood can't circulate there. It will start to necrose, mm-hmm. and you can lose your skin. I mean, like, it is, if you don't react with a certain medication in a certain time period and have a certain protocol, are you really going to have all that in your Botox kit? You know, are you going to think about all that if something like that happens at someone's house? I mean, I just can't, you know, I just don't feel like it's a safe setting.
Also, for me, the way you just described that, I was thinking that sounds like a one size fits all kind of situation. Like, mm-hmm. you're just going to sit down and they're going to be like, pop, pop, this is what we did to everyone else. Yeah. And the thing that I love, I mean, I think you're really great at this, is you specifically sit down with each of your clients, mm-hmm. and everyone is different. So yeah. you target exactly what that person needs. And yeah. this is making a judgment because I've never been to one. I would just assume yeah. that it's not really a very intense consultation.
A personal story as an injector is I did a Botox event, and I always had in the back of my mind, I didn't like it. I didn't feel good in my chakra that I was doing it, even though it was, you know, work related. And it had a reaction with one of my patients doing her lip injections. And luckily I was in my setting to where I had the proper medication and everything that was needed and everything was fine. But just having that happen as a very seasoned injector, it could happen to anyone. Right. And if you're at home on a couch, it's happening. I mean, people pass out all the time from injections.
Really?
From just, like, you know, they just have a vagal response. Maybe they're just all worked up. And I mean, they could be someone that's gotten Botox for years, or someone that's just started getting Botox and they're just worked up and they're, like, kind of don't like needles. They have a needle phobia. Oh, you have no idea what I see in my room.
Yeah.
But yeah. So when people, they start getting pale, diaphoretic, they're hot. Like, I mean, they could easily pass out, and if any injectors are listening to this, when you see them pass out, it is not just like they just, like, fall asleep and pass out. It's like a situation. Like, it's mm-hmm. kind of scary looking. There's just so many things. And so, I kind of, like you were saying earlier, like, you come in, you have a consult. I mean, I have some patients that bring in their mom or their friend, and heck, do that. Bring them in, let them all, like, let's talk about it in the safety of a, you know, medical environment with a proper chair and proper protocol and consents that are being signed. And, we'll have, like, we'll have a sober beauty talk.
A non-drinking.
It'll be a party. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's always a party. Have the party after. Yeah. Go to your injector in their space, and yeah. then go meet your friends for
no,
a drink.
I will. I'm so against it.
Okay. So no Botox parties.
Nope.
Question 6. I know she says to shave your face and to use retinol, but how do you do both? I didn't at first when I read this question, I'll be honest, I think I wrote this girl back and I was like, what do you mean? Because I do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually have two other mini episodes of this podcast on, we did one on retinol. Mm-hmm. And then I just talked about the fact that I shaved my face and the process that I used to do that. So a lot of people, I guess, would be worried about that, but you think both work at the same time, right?
Oh yeah. And I feel like that, just from hearing my patients and just people asking questions on DM, that they're wanting to know, like, when do I do it? Like, when is it too much? Like, what order? Mm. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Cause I think of the way I do it. And I'm like, I just didn't think about that. That makes sense, that patients, that people are like, well, what? Well, I love it all. When do I do what?
Okay. So when?
So, I mean, honestly, with dermaplane or with shaving your face and using retinol. So you think of retinol, you're turning over your skin cells. And what that means is that you've got a dull layer and retinol just speeds them up. So while you sleep in your retinol or your retin-A or your retinoid and, you know, any of the retin-A families, in the morning, you're going to have a little bit more dead skin cells. It might be superficial, but you can, that's why using a scrub or a glycolic or a dermaplaning is another form of exfoliation, but you really can't go wrong. So say for example, if you use your retinol on Thursday night and you dermaplane on Friday morning, okay, great, that you can do that. Or mm-hmm. What if you dermaplane on Friday night and then you put your retinol on top of that? Okay, you can do that
so
too.
Either order.
So I feel
like
dermaplane is going to get the peach fuzz off. It's going to make your makeup be like Photoshop.
Yeah.
It's another form of just a exfoliation that you can do at home, and or it's something that you can also do in the office. Which at home, the dermaplane blades or the they're of course a little bit more dull. So the ones in the office are a little bit more sharp, and you know whatever. But it's still something that you can do affordably at home to get some like great results, and it enhances your absorption of your products, makes everything just kind of work better and feel better, and you're glowy. And so yeah, don't be afraid. I would say if you're dermaplaning at home with something that's just not as sharp, it's dull, like once a week. Like I dermaplane once a week.
Me
and if
too.
I feel like I have a couple little hairs like on my chin, which I mean, like, I don't know what happened when I turned 40. I'm like, why is that still there? Like, why does it come back overnight? So like I might grab my dermaplane blade and do that area like the next day. Like it's just, yeah. So you're good. I mean, would I do it twice a day? No.
Right.
But yeah, so you can do it in with your treatments, in with your home care, or, you know, do it just as like your special day that you do like your little, you know, your skincare day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you have a day where like Wednesday night, you love doing your CO2 lift mask and your steamer mm-hmm. and your dermaplane. It's just like your night. So
little beauty at home, beauty
totally
night.
Interchange it. You cannot hurt it.
Okay. And if you guys want to know our process of using the Retin-A or those products, I had a lot of questions for Carrie about that. So definitely check out that podcast. Last question. What are the best skin treatments for beginners at the med spa? There are so many options. I get overwhelmed. I actually totally relate to this.
This is one of my favorite questions.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I literally just sit in your chair and I'm like, do whatever you think you should do, because it is so overwhelming and I don't even know where to start.
I totally understand that. And that's why that's like, this is like one of my favorite questions. I might like totally like run on. You're like, Carrie, stop. But, I really love helping patients find their main concerns and find a plan, because it's so overwhelming. And I can't imagine like coming into this industry now and with all the fun options, like where the hell would you even start? So like if you take a look at your skin, like what do you see? Like, is it large pores? Is it acne? Is it scarring? Is it wrinkles? Is it dull skin? Is it hyperpigmentation? Is it, you know, brown spots? Like what is with your skin? Okay. So then we take, say it's hyperpigmentation. That plan, I wouldn't say let's do a microneedle, like, cause that's not going to target your pigment, and you're not going to, if you're just going into a medical spa and you're like, where do I start? Then you might not be as happy with the treatment because you didn't really target your pigment, you know? So if I can help, you know, we're looking at your main concern, and then that's your treatment plan and that's your protocol. So, you know, with pigment, we're going to get some choices of, hey, like, you know, in your skincare, what are you using? I might think of something that can fit into your skincare, and people bring like their bags of shit. Like, I mean, I love it. Let's bring it. Let's organize it. You use this, how you might have some gems in there. You don't know. I'm a big fan of using it, what you got, but there might be like, there's probably a hero product that's missing that can target your pigment. So it's like doing your homework in between, like with doing some treatments. So it's making your treatments, you know, more effective, but it's also might even like save you some money on a treatment mm-hmm. because you might not need as many because you're doing some homework with a hero product. So that's step one. And then we're going to decide, you know, of course, budget's always in that too, which that's a question I ask everyone.
Yeah.
You know, this is how much it is. You know, what's our timeline? It could be that we, you know, somebody's getting married or, you know, you're going to see an ex-boyfriend or who, I mean, those are my fun projects. I love that shit. But I, you know, like we'll organize the times that we're getting the treatments in effectively to start targeting that pigment. But the whole thing about this is that even though you're starting something, you're affecting everything. So say that we're doing IPL, like for brown spots, you're still tightening the skin. You're still getting heat to the skin. So it's rejuvenating the skin, tightening the pores, targeting pigment. You're doing a lot of things without realizing you really are here to target pigment. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of doing, your skin's going to look better anyway. And then we might talk about maybe you're more of a peel girl route. So I kind of just like to get to know the patient so that I'm kind of figuring out their lifestyle of what they'll actually will do. Like, you know, what they will actually come to the appointment for, you know, because they do things that are like, oh, I hate that appointment. I have brown spots they get darker for a couple of days. And they might be more of a peel route, a peel girl, and then, you know, go with a product. So it's all fun. It's all overwhelming. Every magazine, every show, it's like, there's so much out there, but it's like, where do you start? But I think that if I had to choose one thing to tell patients, like if they're going to be, you know, maybe they're going to be on vacation, they're like, oh, I'm in a new city, or it's time, I kind of want to just see what it's about. Like, what treatment can basically anybody do? It would probably be like a hydrofacial.
Yeah.
Like a hydrofacial, a microderm, like a level one peel, something you're not going to peel from. It's just going to kind of eat the dead skin cells. A dermaplane. Like, those are treatments that any skin type can do.
Those are kind of just like refresher treatments.
Yeah, but it's a good little like, oh, okay, well, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in this, you know, okay, this is what it's like. Like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I'm, this is what it's like. I even like to lay like on the esthetician's bed or to have the light and have extractions done. Like, I mean, that's just, it's a experience.
I feel like you touched on a really good process. I mean, point though, because it really is about your goals. Like if you're going mm-hmm. in to relax or you're on vacation, like you said, and you just mm-hmm. want a little refresher for your skin to look really nice.
Yeah.
That's what you think about before. But if you have more intense goals, it's like, what do you say? Call ahead and say, hey, I have brown spots. This is what I want to treat.
Most patients are on, they might say like, I want to talk to Carrie about a treatment plan, or I'm not sure what I need. I want her to, you know, do a consult. And then that's where it's a consult appointment.
About the consult.
So the consult appointments are usually like 30 minutes, but I try not to go over because I just get so excited. And then I make friends and then it's just fun. And then they start seeing results and I get so excited with them and it's fun. And so, and the confidence, the pep in their step, it's a whole like cycle. But yeah, it's a consult appointment. Okay. And then from that appointment, usually you're telling me like what I'm like, so what are you kind of like, what's going on? And then I'm able, as I'm talking to them, I'm also watching them talk to me and I'm watching their muscles move. I'm watching like the laxity. I'm watching the brown. I'm watching, I see everything.
Everything.
Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse. But then, so I kind of already have in my head, like, they're going to love this. But then I listen to the concerns and then I kind of teach them, this might be why you're seeing that, or this is the, you know, treatments that are going to give you the best bang for your buck. And have you ever done this before? And is this all new to you? And, you know, sometimes patients are like, I've done this laser before and I didn't really get a result, or I did like it, but why did my brown spots come back? I mean, it goes into all kinds of things, but yeah, I would say making sure that you are at a good place that has like a good reputation, and that they have good reviews and that, you know, they're comfortable with their person doing their treatments, and that they're educating them and, you know, things like that. But usually people know when they go into somewhere that if there's a lot of people there, they have great results and mm-hmm. they have good Instagram pages. Like, that's the great thing also too about social media is that you can see results and people that work there, and you kind of can be like, oh, okay, I think I could, you know, I would feel comfortable with her.
That's always my biggest thing to say to people is like, find someone who you like the way they look and go to their person. Yes. Like, that's just what you do. That's what I did. That's how I found you. Yeah. I have multiple friends who go to you.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about trusting your person.
Yes. Yeah.
So speaking of that, where can people find you?
I am currently seeing patients at Of Me Nashville, OVME. It's right across from West Elm in the Hill Center and the Whole Foods in Nashville. But all my information, even booking, everything you need is on my Instagram page at The Nashville Beauty Girl.
Right. So all my listeners that are outside of Nashville, check her out at The Nashville Beauty Girl. If you're in Nashville, I do recommend going to see you, except don't book up too much so I can still come in.
Yes, I will always. You get house calls, Kelly.
Okay, deal.
This was
can
so
we
much
drink?
Fun.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes.
You just lectured us on that,
now,
so we're not going to do that.
I like to drink when I'm talking about all this because it just, I can go on and on.
All right, you guys check out Carrie at The Nashville Beauty Girl, and thank you for listening. Bye.
This is Kelly Henderson, and you've been listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. I truly believe that every one of us has a little velvet and a little edge. So it's so important to remember that to be strong, you must be soft too. Thank you so much for sharing in those stories with me. You can follow Velvet's Edge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as velvetsedge.com. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me every Wednesday for more conversations on lifestyle, beauty, and relationships. Thanks for listening.